Welcome back to the vibe, guys. How's everybody doing? It's really wild to say this, but this is my 100th episode. So, in honor of that, I listened to my first episode and I wanted to crawl under a rock, but it taught me something that although I was so new and had no idea what I was doing, I just fucking did it. And I hope to have that mentality a little bit more with my ideas instead of doubting myself immediately. I definitely was humbled from that episode, and I really look at young Lex and I'm like, wow, she was a badass. Like, that was pretty cool of her to continue to do something. And now it's like my second and a half year doing this, I think, and my 100th episode. So I first like wanted to just say thanks for listening to me shoot the shit with dope people. It's really wild to think this is my 100th episode. All that's happened since I started and everything in the in-between, and just what a great experience it's been, and how I never not want to be in connection with humans. I'm so grateful, and you can all think it sounds super lame, but I really, really am for each person, each conversation, each solo moment, whatever it may be. I just really I'm grateful for the little small community that has come of it. I will say that after much thought and consideration, I finally agreed to answer the questions that many of you have been asking me. So throughout the last like 4 months, I've been putting out little Ask Me Anythings, and I compiled the most asked questions. So that's all I'm going to really answer, because the rest just felt like really lame. And like felt like something you can just like find on YouTube, like what skin product do you use, or like what blah blah blah. It's like, no, just follow my Instagram. So I decided to go with things that actually like spoke to me. Obviously, the first one is about like heartbreak and love and all of that, and I'm gonna save that till the very end, and I have a lot to say, but I just figured I'm not gonna give you the hotness at the very top, but I'm gonna start with something that was literally the second most asked about thing, and that is like, what health tips do I have, like working out wise, what do I eat? People said, what do you eat in a day? And this one was really tough for me to answer. It was honestly really tough for me to get. I think as women, it's hard to talk about our bodies, and I think there's so much taboo around diet, like talking about it, whatever it may be. And first of all, I just want to say I am in my 30s. I think, I mean, I don't think, I know that my body, once I turned 30, my body just started to shift a little bit. And I don't say that in any way other than there were changes. And that's it. And I think that people need to remember that age has a lot to do with all of these things. So I just want to put that out there. So this was a really tough one to answer. As I hope all of you know, I am a private yoga instructor. So I do naturally kind of work out all day long, which I feel grateful for. But when it really comes to my like my own self, I definitely try to go to Pilates when I can, like a good challenging class. And I recently took up surfing, which with all the wipeouts has been a crazy physical and mental workout, but I definitely don't do cardio unless walking my dog counts, which I honestly do quite often, so I really hope it does. I mean, he is also 60 pounds. I'm like a bear and a mini horse, so I feel like that does count for something. He also just makes me more active, so I'm sure he's helped me a lot in that aspect. So I definitely try to incorporate more Pilates, more yoga, definitely a little bit of weights, like 2 pound balas instead, but I don't go so crazy on that. I just like care more about like form the most, I would say. And then food. This one was so tough for me. For me, food used to be so, I know it's gonna sound crazy, but emotional. Like when I say that, I mean like when I wasn't happy, I couldn't eat. When I was happy, I could. And I'm sure like some people are listening to this and they're like, that's totally normal. For me, that wasn't normal. I look back and I'm just like, that was such an unhealthy way, because I was really unhappy for a really long time. So that means like I wasn't eating, and Like, I don't think I'm ever gonna say like I've ever had disordered eating, but I think, you know, your mood affects your appetite, and I definitely was in a moody period of my life, so I definitely look at things a little bit different. And in that, I like had to figure out, like, now that again I said I'm in my 30s, I had to figure out a better way to eat instead of just eating emotionally when I'm upset or when I'm not, because that's not healthy and that's not like sustainable. So I will say that throughout the last 2 years, I have definitely slowly but surely I'm learning how to eat and what keeps me going and fueled and healthy rather than, you know, what's gonna fill me up for like the next day and then like what am I gonna eat the next day. Instead, like I really like think about like morning, lunch, dinner. I mean, sure, maybe I don't always get the morning right, but lunch and dinner really, really matter. And like what snacks I'm eating in between. Like, I'm definitely on a train where I think about those kind of things a lot more often and like what kind of foods coincide best with my workout or what kind of foods coincide with my hormones. Like when I'm having my period, and I hope most females know this, you probably shouldn't eat things that are spicy. It doesn't work well with your cramps and your body and your heat and whatever. So I'm kind of just trying to stay more understanding of like my own body, what it means, certain seasons, why we do the things we do. So working out in the way that I want to, eating in the way that I know that I should be eating, not just like emotionally eating, eating properly. I think it's really up to each person on how they want to do that. For me, I've really done a lot of research. So, and that's like stuff on my very own. And also, I could be so wrong. Like, I'm sure people will listen to this and be like, you're wrong about that. So, I'm also going to be honest when I say, I always get Shake Shack and sushi like all the time. I also do, but I'm human and I'm learning. And I'm proud of learning because it definitely is something that I notice. Also, like this summer, a moment of learning again. I just like was drinking more beer than normal and just like living, which is totally okay. But you do come to a point where you notice and you're like, wait. I want like my clean, normal self back together again. And you just learn the balance of life. And that's something still in my 30s, I'm still learning to do. Next question. Why have you become more private on Instagram? This one's interesting. I feel I've become more private throughout the years, but recently I honestly feel a little removed. I feel like I love to see my friends, but it would be cool for Instagram to fizzle out. I think that when you go through a breakup where you hide a bit, Insta makes that kind of hard. Instagram's like a microscope lens for everyone to just judge you. And, you know, you're choosing to be okay with people judging what they may or may not know. And, you know, I was just kind of at a point where I was just sick of assumptions and whatnot. And I was like, I don't need to be posting. I want to do it because I want to, not because I need to. And I didn't really love like the reactions that I was getting from people just reading what they thought was to be true. I didn't like love that. So I just needed to take a break and like almost re-find out what I liked about the internet, if that even makes any sense. And I also think like as you get older, there's things you want to keep, things you want to share. And you know, I feel like I document what's important, my dog. And I wish, you know, I don't know what I don't know what like deeply personal things I'll ever post, but you know, I will say I regret not posting all the dope outfits that I've worn lately because like they are really sick. I literally get so many questions about my dog, so I'm just gonna tell you about him, and I hope for all the questions this can just answer it for you. So I got Indy during one of the most trying times of my personal world. I couldn't get through to myself. Others couldn't get through to me. I just didn't enjoy like anything. I really felt alone, but not like there weren't any friends around, just like so internally alone. I'd been wanting a dog for years, but the timing never worked. what I've realized in life, like any relationship, is there ever a perfect timing? Anyhow, I saw Indy, formerly known as Duke, which is just so weird to think about, one day, and I thought, wow, I feel something for this dog. When I reached out, it was obviously meant to be, but I wasn't able to go get him for 3 weeks. So I told the handler to just keep me posted, keep me in the back of her mind if no one took Indy. And really crazy enough, but 3 weeks went by, I went to Philly and I got him. And it was the best thing that ever happened. And, I think people get annoyed with my obsession with Indy because they don't really understand. I know that everyone's like, my dog did something to me, and I so can imagine and feel for them. And with Indy, I think, my obsession is really like, Indy saved my life. Like, I'm not even being dramatic. I'm being totally honest when I say he has single-handedly made me a better human. And I really mean it, even from a stance of being patient with others and, teaching Indy how to behave since 3 months old, like by myself. I know moms listening are like, wait till you have a baby. And like, I can only imagine the love you have for a baby. I literally just s have spent the last like year m training him, wanting him to be the best dog for him, for others around. I can only imagine what it's like to have a kid, and believe me, that's what I want. And I think, I'm sure a part of me wanted to take care of someone or something again. And it's been super rewarding, and I love him so much. He's now a certified service dog, and he comes with me wherever, and I love him so much, and I just feel really lucky. And on the other side, it's also really nice to have a protector. And I know that anyone who knows him is like, shut up. He would never do anything to anyone. But I don't mean it in like, he's gonna protect me from like someone coming after me. I mean that like he's so attached to me in such a like physical way and a mental way. It's like concerning sometimes, I think, when others see it. But it's also a beautiful thing. And he's always concerned about what I'm doing and what I'm up to, and that's what I mean as a protector. Like, it literally boggles my mind how much he cares what I'm up to, like how much he understands certain conversations when I'm on the phone. Like, he needs sleep on me or needs to lay by my feet at all times if we're together. And I'm smiling as I say this because I love him. Like, we don't deserve dogs. Like, we just don't. All right, friends, give me a second. How are you able to maintain your friendships when not living near basically any? I love this one. I make friend dates where we legit will block out 2 hours to FaceTime. Maybe it'll be dinner super early, depending on which friend. For Anna, we'll start at 10 p.m. since she's West Coast. But then Molly will go 7 to 9 a.m. Depends on, because she's East Coast. So it depends on which friend, what the timing is. And, just like blocking out time, and it's totally fine. And, a way for me to remember what I have to tell a friend if I'm not gonna talk to them for a while is I'll make an like on my notes app, I'll just write little things that have happened that I wanna remember and let them know what's up. I just think it's important to like, I feel like one of the things I got was like how do you handle being in a different stage of your life when your friends are in another, aka like some of my friends being married or moms and me not. So here we go. I really think that embracing everyone's stage of life. So I'm gonna put an example of a mom friend of mine. I love embracing their lives and their kids and every single thing that comes with it, not just because I'm obsessed with them and obsessed with their offspring, but because I know that when my time comes, and obviously that time will come, they're gonna be so stoked for me. And like, that's really special to me, like, really, really, really special. And not something that I think more people need to remember that when they like think about friendships and staying close. It's like they're Like, you have to just embrace everyone's newness and what they're into and what they're about. And, again, as I mentioned, my example of a mom friend, you embrace what they're going through. You embrace it and, you find out which is better, the doona or the bugaboo. And I'm going to tell you right now, the doona is the answer. But, like, you just figure it out. And obviously, if you really love this person and they love you, your friendship and relationship is just gonna work out. And if not, learn to block out some time and like maybe you have to schedule it out. And there's no harm, no foul in that either. That doesn't mean people don't care. I think that's a very normal thing for all of us to have to like kind of figure out a timing that works so you don't cut people off when you have a lot to say or maybe they do. So those are my things. So the next one, how to not compare yourself to others. This one got deep because it went from a general sense, then girls asking me how I don't compare myself at work, or seeing my exes with other people, and the answer is just confidence. When it comes to work, there's room for all of us. It's tough to think about and process, but really, there's really room for all of us, and it's a much kinder world when you live in a world that's not competitive but that's community-based. So how to not compare myself to other girls. I'm gonna call it in a catty sense again, but I guess self-confidence, my people. There will always be someone who's more beautiful, more beautiful, smarter, nicer, cooler. I mean, maybe there isn't. I'm just kidding. There always will be. And the only way to not compare is to understand why things didn't work out. Again, I know super hard to do, much easier to say, but also the thing is, I'm saying this after a lot of time has surpassed, and I can say this and mean it with confidence. Again, something is the main reason why you don't compare yourself to others. So after a lot of time has happened, a lot of time has passed, I have started to feel more confident. And believe me when I say there will never be somebody like you, or someone who's existed like you, or someone who smiles the way that you do, or laughs, or maybe is a psychotic human being like you. So when I think about not comparing myself to others, I definitely think about that there will never be someone else like you, and that the person that you are is so special for a reason. Again, it can be like you can be a psycho girl, you can be a jealous girl, you can be whatever, but there will never be someone like you. And the only thing I'll say besides compare, like ways to not compare yourself, are to just keep your side of the street clean. Like, don't talk shit. Like, I thoroughly promise you, the way you look at those scenarios will change, especially if you really start to stop talking shit. Like, I really think a lot of girls don't realize, like, how much feeds into things when they talk badly about others and how bad it looks for them. So that's that. And if you need a major confidence hype woman, just like on the internet, I recommend checking out Serena Kerrigan. Also, our podcast episode, which is pretty dope. So the next one. And then the next one is the most common question. So this is the second to last question. What's the scariest part of starting over? I literally laughed when I read this. Literally everything is scary about starting over. And also nothing. The scariest part about it is, of course, the logistics, like where I'm going to live, where will I find work, will I do well, will I make friends? And the answer is and always will be yes. If you push yourself to get there, it'll always be yes. I'll be honest, work-wise, I was a little bit blessed in the sense, but only because I've made so many connections with yoga that I've kept in touch. I recommend keeping in touch with people you never know who you're gonna run into or where you're gonna move. And also know how to read a room. It's helped me so much in life. I think the scariest part of all of it though isn't being alone, which I feel like everyone thinks of as the first thing. Sure, the admin of buying and getting furniture and having deliveries and all of that's so annoying, but I look at the big picture. I found myself a lot of the time getting upset over everything until one day I said, if it's not going to matter in 5 years, I won't spend 5 minutes being upset. Pretty sure The moment I said that was when I was building an IKEA coffee table and was just so upset. And then I was like, hold up, you're upset over a table? Like a fucking table. Grow the fuck up, Lex. And I've had a lot of grow the fuck up, Lex moments. And I urge all of you to have those with yourself. Starting over something scary, I'm not gonna lie, but it's also super liberating. I mean, like, gonna save that one for later. It's super liberating though, and you know, especially when you're going through something and removing yourself, it's a really, to be able to say, to have those moments where you're like, grow the fuck up, Lex. Talk about grow the fuck up, Lex. There was so many moments that I've looked and thought, wow, what was I ever doing? I never fit in. I remind myself so often, like why I did start over, because like where I wasn't fitting in the right way, and I wanted to so badly. So, you know, I just know that I was a little bit different, and I think everyone who feels that way should know that that's a really good thing and not something to be bummed about, you know, because now I am living like freely and like freely as me, and like that's a better person for the universe to like have here. So maybe that was a little bit long, but the scariest part of starting over is everything, but the best part about it is just the liberation and just knowing that, you know, you've done the work and you can get through it, and you know, we've got it. I think I've learned a lot about relationships generally, romantic, friendship, business, and what I've learned is that to have a successful relationship in all sorts means communicating. Communicating what works, what doesn't work, those conversations become lighter and easier. And if there's anything I think we all have felt in the last 2 years is community and connection is really everything. So reconsider, take a step back, don't be so quick to judge. And above all, what I've learned is I learned is we all deserve to feel great. Like we all do deserve it. All right, so the last one and the most asked, because I'm like resitting and about to take a sip of water. One second. The most asked question was, how do you get over a breakup? While I wish I knew the answer to this, I think we all handle breakups differently. I've been so lucky to have had such great, clean, and loving breakups. I have also witnessed the other side, sadly. What the other side can do is just scary. People choose anger over all of the love shared. It's something that's mind-boggling for me. You know, those who don't offer closure or a sense of understanding, relationships are all about communication. What I learned is I was the only one communicating the truth. I have yet to get closure. I have yet to be apologized to. I have yet to understand why someone would continue to even mess with me. But I'm in my 30s. What 30-year-old runs from problems? Do I want to be someone who's gonna run or who's going to minimally give me? Do I want someone who's going to run or who's gonna minimally give me the respect to speak to me like an adult? I will take the latter. Maybe for a while I wouldn't, but now that time has passed and I am not a little girl, I will take the latter. Well, it took me so long to see the truth because I was being strung along. I did see it. I kept my side of the street super clean, as I've said before, and I implore you to do the same if you found yourself in a toxic or selfish situation. This is hard for me to talk about. And also learning who the fuck I am. Each year I grow as a human, but damn, did this level me up in a way I didn't know I was possible or capable of. Something I think of that takes a lot during a breakup and moving states, it's still like something that still shocks me about going through a breakup and moving states is that I would still be able to work and make connections and keep my friendships and stay healthy and not let myself fall off of the deep end. And I say that in all of the ways, like not letting myself become a lesser version of me. And I could have. I maybe did for like a month or so, but ultimately, as a human being, I really held it together, which taught me a lot about myself and, to rise up to occasions and to always be there despite like how tough things may be and how little somebody else may care about me and that I need to care about me the most. And even me saying it now is so hard to say, like, I need to care about me the most. So, like, when people ask me about breakups or how to get over it, it's like, remember that you matter more. I know that may sound wrong, but like, you do. Because, like, in this situation for me, I wasn't being shown anything at all. I still am not, but like, I wasn't. And like, I do matter. So, with that being said, I'm gonna give you some notes on healing. Sure, closure be maybe the bad word for it, but give your old partner, your old friend, whoever it may be, a peace of mind of what happened or what went wrong. If someone you loved ghosts you and just never speaks to you again, that speaks volumes. Like, I know it's silence, but it speaks volumes. It's okay to be alone. I found being alone is great. It's the least dramatic moments of my life. Sure, it can be boring, but I choose boredom over craziness at this stage in my life. That it's okay for things to take longer to process for you than for others. I repeat, that it's okay for things to take longer to process for you than for others. To always be really honest with yourself and your loved ones because they have your back. They really do. Sometimes they see the things that you just don't, and that's a good thing because sometimes we get so wrapped up in what we feel rather than what's really there. To do physical things that scare you or push you out of your mental funks. It's helped me so much to harness my energy on one specific thing that I literally, I'm gonna speak for myself. Surfing is what I started, and I literally can't think about anything except that specific moment. Am I gonna get the wave? Do I have it? Am I breathing? What's going on? Like, find something that makes you really like think about one thing and only that, and not about everything around us. And lastly, 100th episode. What a beautiful gift it is to finally be myself without worry, without the feeling of, do they accept me? Like, do they like me? Listen, I spent a long time people pleasing, like a fuck ton long time, such a fucking long time, that it is such a breath of fresh air to just be me. Like, sometimes I'm so worried that I'm okay with just being so alone in me that, like, I would be okay just having Indy and getting a sperm donor and just like, being a single mom and just doing the thing. And like, I may, who knows? But what I am going to say is, the feeling of being accepted and being me is just, there are no words. Like, there are no words. Like, even though as sad as it is that, like, I did try really, really hard and trying really hard is not a way to live. Ultimately, it didn't work out for me. No matter what I would have done, I would have tried to do that. And I had to learn the really, really tough way. But overall, it feels so fucking good that this shitty moment turned out to such a gift of being able to be me again. Something that, like, I didn't feel for so long. I almost, like, didn't know who I was. All right. Let me wrap this up. So, if there's one thing I want to leave you with, it's to stop comparing, stop thinking Instagram is the truth, start making those connections, talk to your friends more, give them a phone call, be interested in that Duna stroller, call that friend who may be having a little bit tougher of a time, call that friend who's fucking loving life. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, enjoy all of these seasons that we're living in. Like, enjoy it all because we only have one life. And I know that sounds so cliche, but we only have one life. For me, I hope I, for me, I can say wholeheartedly, I'm really happy with all the decisions that I've made and the way that I live my life. I hope that this episode has given you some insight to the past 2 years for me, my growing experiences, my world, my life, my notes on healing, and cheers to the vibe. And this next season of life is going to be so fucking amazing. And thank you to every single person who's listened, who's come on the vibe, who has given feedback, who has left reviews. Thank you for all of it. And 100 episodes. Can't even fucking believe it. Let's do 100 more. Thanks for listening to the vibe, guys.